Om Shanti. I think all of us know Sister Jayanti. How many of you know Sister Jayanti? Can you raise your hands? Everyone knows. When Sister Jayanti began her life's path of spiritual study and service with the Brahma Kumaris at the age of 19, she is the director of London branch of the Brahma Kumaris World Spiritual University and its NGO representative to the United Nations, Geneva. For over 35 years, Sister Jayanti has traveled widely as a speaker, broadcaster, and emissary for peace. She has coordinated several projects in connection with women, development, the environment, and youth. She is an advisor to the Council for a Parliament of the World's Religions, an advisory committee member of the International Interfaith Center. Sister Jayanti is European coordinator for the Brahma Kumaris World Spiritual University and assists in coordinating the university's activities in 130 countries. Her work involves spiritual counseling, teaching, and translating. Sister Jayanti has a unique ability to impart deep spiritual truths with utmost clarity. Her prominent lecture themes have included health, education, racial harmony, women's needs, religions of the world, peace, and international relations, all of which have generated a lot of media interest. So we will welcome Sister Jayanti. You can wave your hands. With one hand, we will welcome Sister. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. I'm not sure if you were expecting a sort of introduction that we normally give in public events rather than Brahmin gatherings. So it was unexpected for me. Today's topic, accumulating charity. And the word in Hindi is punya. In English, the word charity doesn't carry the same connotation, but punya, the word implies that which is very pure, that which is good, sacred. And of course, it refers to thoughts, words, and actions. Why I decided to choose this topic today is because a few days ago with Adi Janki I mentioned that one of the sisters is spending a good amount of her time looking after someone who's elderly and so a little bit frail. And I said to Adi, you know, this person's got many skills that could be used for service in many different ways, and yet she's doing this particular service with a lot of love. And should we let that continue, or should we say we find somebody else and let her do her very specialized service? And Daddy's instant response was, no, it's punya karma that she's doing. So let her do that. And when you say punya, then of course it means all of the things that I mentioned earlier. And that he said, whatever other service she could do is fine, and there are others who can also do that service, but this particular service is punya karma, and so let her do that. And so it set me thinking that sometimes we take service in a very narrow way, but of course service is unlimited and huge and takes in thoughts and words and actions, so it can be many, many, many things. And I also want to put it into the context of something that Mama had said. And recently we've been receiving Mama's Muralis at least once a year. The word Murali is always associated either with Shiv Baba, Bap Dada's Murali, or with Mama. When others give classes, even if it's Daddy Gulzar or Daddy Janki, we don't call it Murali, we call it a class. But for Mama, they would always say, Mama's Murali, not a class. And so you've been hearing Mama's Murali's, some of you at least. And you can see that Mama very much focuses on the subject of karma. Have you noticed that? She takes up all the subjects, of course, soul and God and drama, but a lot of focus on karma. And at one particular time, Mama had said that every night, look and check and see three lists. One, the account of good. Two, the account of things that were not so good. And three, the account of the burden that you still carry that still remains. And so the settlement of that. And I found it particularly helpful to see it in these three ways. The good, not so good, and how much more of the past is it that I carry, that I still have to settle. And over the past few days, Baba's been telling us a lot about the things that we shouldn't be doing. And so, obviously, if any of that begins to creep in, and Baba said that usually it's carelessness that allows other things to come in. So it starts with carelessness, but then of course it lands up with all sorts of negative things that Baba explained in a great deal of detail in the Murali on Sunday. And I think not just in terms of the Murali, but when each of us looks back on our own experience, then we see that that is the starting point. A little bit of slackness in one of the major aspects of spiritual growth, Amrit Vela, traffic control, early morning Murali. So a little bit of slackness in any of these things, and how much time does it take for something to become a habit? Not long, is it? You get into the habit of coming a little bit late for class, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and it creeps and creeps and creeps, and very soon it's 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And yes, you still catch the Murali, but certainly you don't get the full impact of Murali. And the interesting thing is that it can happen at any point of time during your Brahman life. A little bit of slackness at the beginning, that's possible. And many of you are instrument teachers, and you see that when new souls come, and a little bit of slackness at the beginning, and they just never really catch up speed and move forward. Some say that, yes, we take things a little bit slowly, and I've seen that happen too, that it takes them a little bit of time, but it's steady and it's slow, but they move ahead. But where somebody is slack and it stays that way, then what's going to happen? But interestingly enough, it can happen after 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, even 30 years with Baba. A little bit of slackness creeps in, and of course the thought there, well, I've heard all these Muralis anyway. And so when Baba says carelessness and slackness, it's a bug that's hanging around waiting to catch a chance and grab you any moment. And so it really does need constant alertness and attention. No tension, Baba tells us this, Baba reminded us just a little while ago, no tension but attention. And so attention in particular on my timetable. It sounds very, very basic, and it is, but it's the foundation. And so even after many years with Baba, my foundation is it that attention on that timetable, whether in Madhuban or whether back at your service place, wherever that may be. And so we're aware of the things that again create a burden, and so important to be totally alert and not take it for granted that I'm Baba's child, I'm Baba's instrument, and so everything is fine, I'm protected. Yes, it's true, I am protected, but my inattention is going to cause problems, and so to be very, very aware of that. Otherwise, instead of settling that third balance account, I'm actually adding further to that. And then the things I shouldn't be doing. Today in the Murali, Baba took it up several times. Baba is the bestower of happiness, and so Baba's children mustn't be the ones who cause sorrow. And so often, it's our critical nature that makes us give sorrow. Our intention may be that we're trying to help somebody be accurate. We're telling somebody that this is how it should be. But of course, what they pick up is that my attitude is one of criticism, that my tone is not as sweet as it could be. When the dadis tell me the same thing, then I take it into my heart and pay attention to it. But if I tell someone the same thing, but my attitude and my tone isn't quite filled with the humility and love and the pure feelings of wanting to help and uplift somebody, then of course it's going to cause sorrow. I think I'm helping them be accurate, but in fact, not true. It's a little bit of criticism that's there, and it's not filled with those pure good feelings and good wishes. And so, again, that account of things that shouldn't be happening gets added on to, and so there's sorrow being caused. And so that becomes a burden for the soul. Enough about the things that we shouldn't be doing. Let me focus now. I thought it was important to mention those, but also to focus on the things that help me accumulate my account of charity. And from early morning through to the moment I say goodnight to Baba and go to rest, I can be having punya karma, good karma, lots and lots of good karma all the way along the line. Yes, punya karma is that which is sacred, that which is good. But another way to look at it is that which is bringing souls closer to God, or that which is giving spiritual happiness to others. And if I think about Madhuban and the whole structure of Madhuban and the whole system of Madhuban, and if you think about so many different people, in Shantivan it's thousands, in Gyansruvar it's a few hundred, but a few hundred looking after all of us, and looking after not just our spiritual needs, but looking after all our physical comforts and needs also. And so each of those souls who's behind the scenes, you know how when there's a public event, and I think all of you have been involved in that experience of putting on events or helping in events and things like this, It's not just the speakers on the stage that are making the program good or not so good, but it's the people who do the sound, the people who do the light, people who did the advertising, people who did the graphic design, people who did the computer work, A to Z. From the time that the seed was planted that we want to do this program, and I'm talking about just one event for an hour and a half, from the moment the seed is planted to the moment that the audience, you see their faces change and they go back giving you lots of blessings from their heart and saying, thank you, that was so beneficial, that was so beautiful. And usually at the end of a program, that's the sort of response you get, right? Usually. Must be a very rare event where the sound has been awful and the lights haven't come on at the right time and the speaker's not been properly on track and people go away with a grumpy face or feeling. Out of 1,000 programs, maybe it's one, it's rare that that happens. But generally, even a very simple program, a basic program, and people say, that was very uplifting, that was very beautiful, that was very beneficial. That's usually the case. But think about how many people were involved in order to make that program happen for an hour and a half, so that those souls could come and take some benefit and come a little closer to God. And maybe some would come very close to God. And this time Baba has told us, when he was talking to the double foreigners in the last meeting with Baba, find the air souls. Baba's really pushing us to A, complete ourselves, and B, also complete the service. Baba knows that in a certain way, Baba's message has reached mostly across the whole world, literally. Even Alaska. I know that people from San Francisco have been going to Alaska to serve, and probably other people that I don't know about have been going. So whether it's Alaska or Tahiti and all the Pacific islands and the little islands in the Caribbean, there's either a plan at work to serve all those souls or it's actually happening. And so it's no more a question of just giving a message across the world. Baba's now wanting us to really focus on finding the air souls so that truly they can come and claim their full inheritance from Baba. And so there must be air souls out there waiting. You know, sometimes we think that maybe the time of finding air souls is over. And here's Baba saying, find the air souls. So what's that telling you? That they're still out there waiting for the right vibrations to touch them and to come to Baba. So the point that, yes, in any little program even, or big program, many, many, many are involved, and so many different types of punya karma are involved in all of that. And in Madhuban, of course, every time I come here and every time new Brahmins come here and old Brahmins, we see the tireless spirit of service in the Madhuban Nivasis. Can you imagine? I know some of these souls since Sakar Baba's days, and they've been doing the same service, and you don't even know their names. They're hidden away behind the scenes. I'm thinking of a brother called Jamna Prasad. Most of you haven't heard of him, right? Who's heard of him? One. So he's the soul who's been responsible for the Hindi Murli department. And if we didn't get Hindi Muralis, we wouldn't get English, French and German and Spanish Muralis, would we? And he's been doing Murali service since, I think, maybe even the late 50s or early 60s. Early 60s, probably. to date, and we are already 2013. Can you imagine doing one type of service, but service that's not only continuous, never missing? If a package of Muralis doesn't arrive, now we've got computers, so you don't have to depend on the post system anymore. But if there was a time that a package of Muralis didn't arrive, you know, we'd be thinking, what happened, what happened? We want our Muralis, we want our Muralis. And of course, if you don't get the Hindi Muralis, you can't get all the others. So that's just one example. But just imagine a soul who's never come on stage. The only time you actually see him is if you go to Madhavan courtyard early in the morning and Pandavabhavan courtyard, and the second when it's flag hoisting time. Somehow at some point he took on the role of putting up Shiv Baba's flag, and so now none of you will be here for Shivratri, but at Shivratri time, and if anybody of you has ever tried putting up the Shiv Baba flag and positioning it so that with one pull, the flag unfurls. Has anybody tried it? It sounds a very simple thing, and if you've tried it, you know it's not so simple, right? Sometimes it gets stuck on a flagpole, it doesn't go up. Sometimes the knot is too strong and so it doesn't unfold. Sometimes the knot isn't strong enough and so it's very complicated actually. I tried it myself with people in London, and it takes quite a skill. And he's always there for all the flags around in the Madhuban, Pandavabhavan, Gyan Sarovar complex and everywhere. So he does that. But my point that I've never heard him say, this is boring, this is dull, I want another type of service, I want to travel, I want to go here, I want to do things, I want to do something exciting. He's just continued with that service all these years. So how many blessings must that soul have accumulated for this one specific service? I mentioned one, but there must be many, 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 many others key in all the departments, again, the sound, the light, and everything else. Just continually, silently, incognito, doing service so that others can come closer to God. And of course, any service that you do, physical service, practical service, whatever it is, it's the question of the motive with which I do the service. And the starting point of my story, that this particular soul, I said to her, you know, you've been doing this service with such love, and you know, when you serve a relative who's elderly, then two things can happen. Either you grow very attached, or it's out of attachment that you're serving them, and everybody's got elderly relatives that they've had to look after or are going to have to look after in the future at some point maybe. And you can get very attached to them, but also I've seen that people looking after elderly people get very impatient with them. In London, in the UK, we've had awful stories in the healthcare of nurses or professionals looking after elderly folk, and they don't care. They don't bother. They're doing it for a salary, and they're just not doing it with that compassion or love or integrity. And so it's become a big national scandal in the UK. How come people who've chosen a profession which is a caring profession based on compassion are not just doing it with that love and care? But of course, people don't realize that it's a world that's Tamopradhan, it's a world that's Kali Yuga. And so nothing has that pure motive or intention. A to Z, any profession you see in Kali Yuga, where is that integrity or that original quality or value with which that profession actually started? Doesn't happen. And yet, in Baba's work, it's not a blood relation, it's not a professional job, but it's simply drama that this soul at one point offered, and it's taking more and more of their time and attention and energy. And whenever I check in, this person says, but I'm learning so much. I'm learning all the things that I need to learn to help me grow. And sometimes she's talked about patience, she's learning patience. Sometimes she's talking about learning flexibility, all sorts of things. So, it was a 2-minute exchange with Dadi. But her comment that this person is doing punya karma, it's an act of charity, touched me very deeply. And so I was thinking that service through words, of course, very important. When I'm sharing gyan, I'm coming closer to Baba, and hopefully, if I'm doing it in the right spirit, in the right awareness, other souls are also getting more insights and coming closer to Baba. And if it's my ego that's coming in the way, then maybe they'll say, oh, that was interesting, but it won't have touched their hearts and it won't have brought them closer to Baba in any way. And so yes, of course we know that. But think about service through words, not in a classroom situation. How much time do we spend speaking? From 4:45 in the morning, probably before Amrit Vela, there isn't much talking, and you're either reading something from a Murali or you're really dashing to get to Amrit Vela on time. So whichever way it is, you do it, but it's not so much communication with humans. And then after Amrit Vela, maybe it's a little bit of a quiet time afterwards. And then the phones start to go, and then you begin to start thinking about your day's activities. And even if it's not a conversation like this, it's a conversation in the mind, and it's not always with Baba. But after Murali, that's interesting, isn't it? The chat starts very soon after Murali. And it goes on for a long time, quite a long time through the day until the end of the day. That's fine. We're used to coming into sound, more used to sound than going into silence. But just pause and reflect. What is the quality of the words that I use in my interaction with others through the whole day? What is my consciousness as I speak through the whole day? Now you can see that the way in which I speak, what it is I say, the content, the consciousness, all the time that I spend speaking, because giving classes, not all the time, is it? It's once in a while. But even if it is all day, if I happen to be in that situation where I'm giving courses all day, but yet still, out of that situation of teaching specifically, all the interaction I have through the day, is it words that are leaving an imprint of joy and upliftment in the hearts of others? Or is it my impatient tone? Is it my too busy tone, and I'm as guilty as anyone else of these things? Sometimes I think about my timetable and it's chick, 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 and I say, no, I don't have time. So as I say, I'm teaching myself, not just you. But it's just an interesting point to reflect on. It's an opportunity to add to my account of charity all day, every day, opportunity to give class and teach or not. How often is it that people have sometimes said to you, you said such and such a thing to me 3 years ago, 10 years ago, and it was so helpful for me. It really supported me at that time. And for you it was very casual. You don't even remember what you said to them. But what you said to them helped them at that moment. But equally, have you had people come back to you and say to you, you know, I've had a bit of distance with you because 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you said this and it hurt me very deeply. And you've been feeling that there's a gap, there's a distance, but you didn't know why. But it was just what for you was a few words. But for the other individual, it was something very deep, and it hurt them very deeply. And you didn't realize. And so our words as Brahmins, both in terms of the impact that it has on the Brahmin family, can bring them closer to Baba and give them a feeling of the joy of Sangam Yug and the beauty of coming closer to Baba, or it can create a distance. And the reality is that if there's a distance within the family, it's also going to impact relationship with Baba. That's the way it works. In a way, it shouldn't. My relationship with Baba should be such that nothing that happens here impacts it. But maybe that's true of the Dadis. It is definitely true of the Dadis. People can say all sorts of things, people can write all sorts of things, and yet they are above it all. Literally, they are up above and nothing touches them. But for most of us, the Brahmin family either supports us and brings us closer to Baba, or something within the family causes hurt. And then if there's hurt in my heart, it's difficult to come close to Baba. Why? Because when I'm carrying that hurt, when I'm trying to remember Baba, instead of remembering Baba, I'm remembering that human being. That's what happens. Two things interfere in yoga. Either an attraction towards somebody, because I'm seeing their qualities and their virtues, but instead of remembering that, well, that's their gift from God, and I can take the same gifts, I think it's specific to them, and so my connection with them deepens. And today Baba spoke about familiarity, and soon after the Murali, somebody stopped me and asked me, is familiarity and attachment the same thing? And I said, familiarity leads to attachment. And most times when there is familiarity, we don't even acknowledge that it is familiarity. We say, no, it's just normal. But of course, if I'm spending more time with this one rather than this one, then that isn't normal. It's the beginning of familiarity. Baba spoke about it, how long ago, about 10 days ago, 12 days ago, that I want to speak to somebody specifically. Baba mentioned many other things also. He was very strong morally on purity again. But Baba specifically said, if I have the thought of speaking specially to someone, then that's the start of familiarity, and then further, of course, it becomes dependency and attachment. And so it starts with what seems to be very innocuous, very simple, and we don't recognize that it isn't healthy. So Baba's Sakar Muralis and the Avyakt ones currently are making us very aware of what's going on in our behavior. So from morning till the night, every interaction I have can go into either that first account of charity or the second account of things that are not quite as they should be. And of course then the burden is increasing rather than reducing. If I'm aware that within a very short time I have to accumulate enough charity to be able to last me through the whole kalpa, not even just 21 births, but the whole kalpa. Because whatever it is that I accumulate today, of course it's not just for the golden age and silver age. Yes, that's the time of heaven and all good things. But even from the copper age onwards, it's not just the actions that I'm doing at that time that are the account of sin and charity and so the return of that, but really the accumulation of the power I have, the accumulation of the purity I have, the accumulation of the good karma that I've done in Sangam Yug, I carry that through with me. If you look at the story of the first soul, Brahma Baba, and we don't need to ask ourselves the question, what was I in my last birth and what was I in the birth before that? It's great Maya and it'll lead you down into all sorts of complications. But the story of the first soul, Adidev, Brahma Baba, is interesting because we know, yes, the soul of Lord Krishna, the one who's remembered with such love in bhakti, amazing, amazing amount of love and devotion for that soul. How did that soul earn it? It's now. And only a few people know that soul now, and we are amongst those few lucky ones, but that same soul. And then Narayan, of course, and in bhakti, they always speak about Narayan as the incarnation of God. So, tremendous respect for that particular figure. And no bad stories. You know how in Hindu bhakti they always have negative stories. Even about Krishna there's all sorts of negative stories. Today Baba explained, as is the vision, so then are the stories they write. And so my vision is mixed, corrupt, and so the stories are the same. But somehow, no bad stories about Narayan, nothing. And then, yes, sure, the Silver Age, royalty. But then, the Copper Age. And this is the soul who, in the royal status, in the royal role of King Vikramajit, he actually had such love and devotion for God that he built the temple of Somnath, and that still stands as a memorial today. Through the Iron Age, if the last birth in the Iron Age was of such high standards and such immense values, can you imagine what the qualities must have been through the rest of the Copper and the Iron Age? It's amazing, isn't it? The standards and the values, not just of Brahma Baba, but even of the Dadis. Probably most of us here in this room don't match up to those standards in our laukic life, and in our alaukic life, our effort is to be Vapsaman, but still, there's a little bit of a gap there. Why I'm sharing all this is because the amount of good karma these souls must have accumulated. You know, Baba always asks us this question. It's a question, Baba says, ask the laukic people. But it's a question for us. What quality of karma did Lakshmi and Narayan do to earn their status? Remember, that's a question that comes up regularly in the Sakar Muralis. And Baba's positioning is, ask the laukic people, what karma did these souls do to be able to become the emperor and empress? But today I'm asking Brahmins that question. Because for them to even have the question of what karma do, they can't get their heads around it. But we know the detail or the story of who these souls are. So how much good karma did Baba do, did Mama do, have the Dadis done to be able to claim the stage that they had right until their 83rd birth? The purity they had, the love for God that they had, that they recognized Baba instantly, that's all karma. Dadi Gulzar, 87, and in laukic terms, people would say that living to a ripe old age, and I never think of Dadi Gulzar as being old. You know, she considers herself young. Compared to the other Dadis, she says she's young. She always talks that way to the Dadis. I'm young. And when you see her face, you don't see an old woman, do you? Quite apart from seeing Baba. But even just her, her face has no indication of old age as such. Dadi Komarka, again, a beautiful woman, even in her 80s. Dadi Janki gets more beautiful as she gets older. That's something that all of us have seen. So when somebody lives to a ripe age, they say in laukic terms that they must have done some pretty good karma. And not just to reach that age, but to reach that age with their brains, their intellects, their grey matter intact and filled with such amazing wisdom. But also the enthusiasm. You know, we lose enthusiasm because little things happen. Somebody's not been very encouraging, things are not quite going the way they are, we get a little bit tired of doing something repetitive. And I see the enthusiasm, age 97 in Dadi Janki. Amazing. You know, the soul is eternally young, the soul is ageless, and that's the proof. She just stays in the consciousness of soul. And yes, her body is fragile, and the doctors keep reminding us, well, don't forget that this is the age of the body and you're expecting a little bit too much of her. But for her, no limits, absolutely none. In bhakti they say that health, beauty, intelligence and wealth and good relationships, all these are a direct result of karma. Interesting, isn't it? And the examples in front of us, health, whatever the state of the body is, souls are healthy and strong, no disease of Maya affecting them at all. And the recovery from serious things, it's quick, it's fast. So wealth, amazing wealth of the treasures of jewels that they're constantly donating, constantly giving, constantly giving. Intelligence, well, who can match their wisdom? Two of the wisest women on the planet, and we have the fortune of knowing them personally. And the rest of the world, you're still hidden from their eyes, and maybe at some time the world will recognize them. But whatever, that's drama. And so health, wealth, intelligence, relationships, the dadis sometimes say, why does everybody love us? And we smile, and we know why the world loves them, because they give so much love, and they never wanted anything from us. And so you see all the good karma, the good karma, the good karma that they've done. And just again to underline this whole thing about that sharing jnana, sharing wisdom, sharing jewels, encouragement, upliftment, isn't just through classes. At the moment, Dadi Gulzar takes basically a class every 10 days. That's it. That's it. Dadi Janki, when she's able to, she takes one class once a day. What are they doing the rest of the day? When they're meeting individuals, when they're meeting small groups, whoever it is they're doing business with, to run the yajna, to run all the things that are happening in Bharat in terms of service, they're still accumulating punya, still accumulating charity, just giving, giving, giving. And it's not through classes. That's the point. And so we all have an opportunity to do lots and lots of good karma in terms of charity, bringing souls closer to God the whole day. But of course it's not just through words. I've explained about the physical karma that happens in Madhuban and how all of that is needed to make our stay in Madhuban one that's filled with comfort, refreshment and joy. All the arrangements that were made for you to go to Peace Park, it took quite a bit of arranging. Anything takes time to organize and arrange, as all of you know, whether you live alone at home in your Lokik home, or whether you live in a bhavan, or whether you live in a center, everything takes time to organize or to do. And so all of that done in that spirit of God's love and bringing souls closer to God, that's punya karma. Whatever it is I do in Baba's home, it's punya karma, doing it in the right consciousness. But of course, the most important thing Baba's been emphasizing recently, the punya karma, the act of charity through our mind. And again, I see it in two different ways. One is just to be with Baba and really to have such a close connection with Baba that really, there's focus, there's concentration, there's total absorption in Baba's love, and those vibrations are helping not only me, but they're reaching across the world. And that takes a lot of practice of yoga. It doesn't happen just like that. It might sound very easy, oh, let me do Mansa Seva, but it needs a good amount of preparation, purification, cleansing, churning, realization, and then the actual yoga and no distractions. And then my mind is capable, is able to serve. But the other type of Mansa Seva is actually more challenging. And the other type of Mansa Seva is having nothing, nothing, nothing but pure wishes, good wishes for each and every member of my family. The other is Yes, the preparation. So it's not that easy. Baba says it's easy. And then Baba says it takes a lot of attention. So it's both. But this one, the Mansa Seva of supporting, whether it's individuals in the family or whether it's a whole center or many members of the family, that requires really truly having nothing but love and respect and the desire for each one to benefit and be uplifted. To have nothing but good wishes for each one is actually the stage of Bab Saman. And so that's the effort that I need to make to really be able to do good karma through my mind. And sometimes you get feedback, most times you don't. On a human level, we thrive on feedback. Somebody appreciates, somebody says, that really helped me, and they thank you for it, there's gratitude, and it's an inspiration and encouragement for more. Mansa Seva, they might never thank you. Sometimes they know you've been sending good wishes their way, and so they do thank you and it is appreciated. But most times they don't know. But when you're helping other souls, and again, Mansa Seva mustn't ever be just for one. Yes, today I know somebody has a special need. Yes, fine. But every day that same soul, and there's a problem. That's not Mansa Seva, that's my attachment. But yes, today it's this one, tomorrow is this one, or it's just the whole family all together, that's fine. When we are engaged with individuals, and it's a family path, whether it's Laukik family or Alaukik family, it's not a path of isolation, of course there'll be hiccups. Of course other people will do things you wouldn't have wanted or expected. They'll say things that you wouldn't have wanted and expected. At that moment, can I genuinely say, I have nothing but good wishes for them? No other feelings have come in. Nothing but good wishes, really. And so this is why I say this type of Mansa Seva, of just simply being supportive and cooperative and sending good wishes. Now that is Punya Karma. We're going to be having meditation in a couple of minutes, but I just want to close with one very interesting definition of punya, charity, that Dadi had given many years ago, but it stayed with me all this time. Dadi was asked the difference between donation and charity. And she said, donation is when you have enough for yourself, and then you're giving what is extra for a good cause. And whether it was in Laukik life or now in Alaukik life. The time I need for myself, for my rest, for my leisure maybe, for my personal whatever, whatever. And then the extra time I have, I give to serve others or to help the Brahmin family. Because you don't donate to the Brahmin family, you give your cooperation to the family. Big difference. You're not donating, you're giving your cooperation. But you've taken what you need, and then the extra is for others. Money, time, energy, food, whatever. But punya is where you don't first think about what you need. Your first attention is what is the need of the other. and you give to the other whatever is their need. So whether it's your time for eating, your time for sleeping, your own food, whatever it may be, but you think about the need, and then whatever remains is for you. Very different, isn't it? Completely different. In one, it's here first, me first, and then for others. And in this case, it's what is the need for others, and then, okay, whatever I have for myself is going to be fine, is going to be enough. And again, I've seen Dadi Janki, whether it's her time for rest, whether it's her time for meals, whether it's very early days, her own food, she would give to others. And it didn't matter if she didn't eat. Many, many stories about that I have, very precious memories. But that's a big difference. And so each one of us has an opportunity to be doing punya karma, a count of good karma, pure karma, charitable deeds, all day, every single day, not just sometimes. And it's up to us how much we choose to do and accumulate so that there's enough for the whole cycle. Om Shanti. Let's have powerful connection with Baba, so that we send out that light and love to the world.